have your Bibles. And we say that as out of habit. That's tradition. That's tradition. But I take that for granted here at Trinity Baptist Church. So you have your Bible. Open it to the book of Galatians. Really here in the book of Galatians, I'm going to really kind of maybe an introduction this morning. I'm not sure how far I'm going to get. I've never taught verse by verse before up here. I've been preaching junior church for a pretty good little while here, and that's been a real blessing, and the Lord has given me great experience with that, and it's been good for me having to get ready every other week. And that's where this study in Galatians for me started, was in the junior church. Brother Dilbert a couple of months ago asked me if I would want to teach verse by verse sometime, and we started praying together toward that end. And about around that time, I was preaching the book of Galatians to junior church, and the Lord just kept that on my heart. He kept it on my mind, and I've been reading the book of Galatians. I bet I've read it, 20 times in the past 2 months, conservatively. And I want to continue the thought that Brother Jack has been preaching to us here and teaching us in Sunday school. What happened in the book of Galatians, and we're going to start out really just in the way of introduction here. We're going to start out in verse 4. I am going to back up and try to go verse by verse. But what happened with the church of Galatia here, Paul started the church of the Galatians on one of his missionary journeys. He was the one that led these people to the Lord. He was the one that taught them what they're supposed to be believing. He's the one who preached to them and edified them and started that work. And what happened, you find this out from the whole book of Galatians. It's difficult to put together from just one passage. But what happened is what we call some Judaizers came in. They came in and they started preaching that you must be circumcised to be saved. And they started teaching that you had to keep the law. And so Paul sits down to write this letter, and we say that. And it's right to say that because that's needful in Bible study. You need to know who's speaking, who's God using to speak. But really, these are the words of God, so I don't want to take away from that. This is God that wrote this letter, but God used the Apostle Paul. And we use the saying, he's got an axe to grind. And you can detect that from the very first verses here. Paul is jealous for the gospel as well as God is. You know, the gospel is that Christ died for our sins, buried, and rose in the third day according to the Scriptures. And that's how you get saved. And that's also how you stay justified in your walk. You know, we get to talking about religion, and even in these hills, and I hope I get to preach on that. I hope the Lord will give me time today. If not, we'll get it next week. But even in the Baptist circles, and let me preface what I'm fixing to say. And this is in no way taken away from what Jack has been preaching. This is complementary to what Jack is preaching. Walking in the Spirit is dwelling in Jesus Christ. It's dwelling in Him. It's abiding in the vine. And so even in our pledge to the Bible, we say, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against me." But there is a slight danger in that. And it happens even in Baptist circles. We get focusing on the rules. We get focusing on the laws, and we forget Jesus Christ. And what religion does is religion produces pride. The Bible says God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So a walk with Jesus Christ, walking in the Spirit, focuses on Christ. And that's the point that Paul's making throughout the whole book of Galatians, is that even after you get saved in your walk, in your walk in the Spirit, in your walk with Jesus Christ, you're not perfect. And that's what religion produces. Religion with a set of standards and a set of rules produces the self-righteousness that the lost world hates. The lost world, you know, that's what they say about us all the time, is that we're self-righteous. They say we're holier than thou. And that comes from religion, and that does happen, unfortunately. That happens in Baptist churches. Now, again, directly what Paul's dealing with here in Galatians is a Judaizer. So when we go through here and we're applying this and we're looking at it and we're studying it, somebody showed up teaching the law, and we don't have to deal with that here much in this part of the country, but I did meet a guy at work some years back, and he was what he called himself a Messianic Jew. and what he believed, I never could figure out if he was actually saved or not. But what he taught is that he believed that Christ was the Messiah, but you still had to keep the law. And I was almost overwhelmed at first because I didn't even know where to start, because the whole New Testament, Paul's, you know, Christ fulfilled the law and we're saved from the law. And the book of Galatians, that's what it's about. And what I found out is he was worshiping education. He talked about the originals, and he'd been to school for 10 years and was still going to school. So that's the fight here in Galatians. That's the purpose for God writing the book, and that's the purpose that the whole book just stays on that point. Until I'm nervous, I'm about to spill my water. Lord have mercy. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 1, verse 4 here. The Bible says, "Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from hell." Anybody following along with me? Doc does that, and I do that to the kids downstairs. It helps you, it drives the point home, makes you think about it. Now, Paul does say that in 1 Timothy here. You can go there with me. This is a Bible study. I'm going to try not to get in a hurry. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In verse 6, the Bible says, "Who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time." Christ gave himself for our sins. He gave himself for sin, and he gave himself for the sin that we commit. And all those things are true. And in the Bible, in a lot of cases, they're a different subject. When you study in your Bible, it's important to realize what kind of point the Lord's driving home to you. Is he talking about salvation? Is he talking about your walk? So here in the book of Galatians, in verse 4 again, "Who gave himself," and I'll read it the way it's wrote here, "who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." So you see right from the start here that the subject of this book is our walk. And I'm going to go just kind of skim through some verses here in a minute. To show you that again and again and again through the book of Galatians, he comes back to this thought: how are you justified in your walk? See, what religion does, if you're walking and say you're doing pretty good, you've got a good will about yourself, and you can control yourself, and you're keeping the rules, you're dressing right, you're talking right, you're gentle, you're humble, if you're doing that in your strength, that produces pride. And that's exactly what God doesn't want to produce. But if you're dwelling in Christ, then Christ is the focus. Christ is our all in all. One of the girls in junior church, the day I preached this, wrote on the board before I even preached, "Christ is everything," or something to that effect. Christ is our everything, and really it just fit beautifully with the message. In salvation, it's Christ. In our walk, it's Christ. And if it's Christ, and if your focus is on Christ, then that keeps you humble. Even if you are doing it, per se, in the eyes of the world, if you're living it, if you're walking right, if you're talking right, people don't catch you cussing, people don't catch you dressing immodestly, all the rules we set up. But if you're doing that, and your focus is on Christ, you're going to realize that you're still not perfect. If you have a true estimation and you read the Bible every day and you're praying and you're honest with yourself, you're going to realize that you're not perfect. You still got some work to do. So you see, walking in the Spirit is dwelling in Christ, and walking in the Spirit keeps you humble. It is not religion. Religion, according to James chapter 1, verse 27, the Bible says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." And that's religion. And walking in the Spirit is not religion. Walking in the Spirit is dwelling in Jesus Christ. Turn to Luke chapter 18 here. And I want to look at something here in Luke 18, kind of drive this thought home before we start going verse by verse. I just want to try to get this thought across to you, and almost like a little message here before we start the book of Galatians, because when we go through the book of Galatians, I want to make some comments on some things that are not necessarily related to the overall theme of Galatians. But I want to get this thought in your head so you can be thinking about it. And by all means, don't take my word for it. As we go into this thing, I hope you've been praying, and you let the Holy Spirit be your teacher, which is what I've been praying, and that He'll just hide my foolishness and hide me behind Him, and He'll be the teacher. Here in Luke chapter 18, we see God's attitude towards religion. Luke chapter 18 and verse 10. Luke 18, verse 10. The Bible says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as the other men are. See the pride there? Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in a week. I give tithes of all I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And again, not trying to take away from memorizing the rules. It's good to hide His word in our heart. It's good to memorize some verses that help you to be modest and help you to watch what you say and all those things, but you can't lose sight of Christ in that. Because if you do, then you become religious and you become puffed up and you become vain. And that's the principle here. That's the principle that Christ is trying to get across to His disciples here. And so with that said, go to Romans 7 here. A very familiar scripture. Jack's been here several times and it ain't going to hurt us to look at it again. Romans chapter 7. I'm not going to read the whole passage. We've been through it a bunch. I want to look at just a few verses here. Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. For the sake of the radio here, what Paul's doing is he's giving a discourse on his experience as a Christian. Paul, one of the greatest Christians to ever live, he's giving us his take on his life as a Christian. So with that in mind here, verse 18, the Bible says, For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Dwelleth no good thing. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. Keeping a set of standards is not going to produce that attitude. If all Paul thought about was, I can do this, I can't do this, I got to read this much every day, if that's all Paul focused on, that would not be his attitude, because Paul was doing it. Paul was a street preacher. Paul was preaching in the streets and in the synagogues. He was a missionary going city to city, starting churches, leading people to the Lord. If anybody could have sat back and said, I'm righteous, I'm arrived, it would have been Paul. But look at Paul's attitude. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. And boy, I've struggled with that. Struggled with that. Paul, in the first part of the book of Romans, he makes that point. You can't even live up to your own standards. And that's true. You can't even make your own standards. How are you going to pass God's standards? And that continues into your Christian life. As a Christian, we're stuck with this flesh. This flesh, it's waiting on the redemption that's coming, the rapture. And until then, we got a fight on our hands. And let's keep looking at Paul's attitude. For the good that I, this is verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Verse 20. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then, verse 21, which is where I was trying to get here. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I'm going to read you a quote right there. This quote's from Horatio Bonner. He says, and this is from his book, The Way to Holiness. The Way to Holiness. When I preach, I sin. When I pray, I sin. My very repentance needs to be repented of, and my tears need washing in the blood of Christ. This is a man that had it down. He understood. A good preacher, and he's still famous. His book's still read. But he had it down. He knew it wasn't him. He knew any good that came from his life was because of Jesus Christ. And he saw himself through a realistic pair of glasses, warts and all. He knew that he hadn't arrived, that he wasn't going to arrive from the testimony of Scripture. Let's keep reading here. Verse 23, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." And look at this for an attitude. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Paul's saved when he makes this statement. Paul's a saved preacher, preaching, starting churches, hazarding his life for the gospel, been whipped, he's been stoned to death. And still, at this point, he says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God," verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And that's the attitude that a real walk with Jesus Christ, that a real walk with the Spirit will produce. Walking in the Spirit, it'll produce that. It won't produce pride, because you never lose sight of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the standard, and he set a perfect one. We'll never measure up. All right, so that's the thought I've been trying to get across to you. If you focus on your works or your fruit or the way you're supposed to act, what that will produce is pride every time. And that's not the goal. That's not the goal. The goal is focusing on Christ. And maybe y'all, I'm sure a bunch of y'all do have this figured out, but this is something that the Lord taught me when Jack was preaching and through the book of Galatians, so I thought maybe somebody else hadn't seen this. If you focus on Christ, the walk will happen. And you'll keep the law, and you'll, not necessarily the law, you know what I mean there. You'll live up to the standard of a Christian, and you'll do the things God wants you to do if you're focusing on Christ. And you're focusing on dwelling in Him, and that'll keep you humble. And it'll lift up Christ. Lift up Christ. Religion focuses on fruit and rules. And that produces pride. I keep saying the same thing. I hope somebody get this some more. Walk in the Spirit focuses on Christ. Go to John chapter 16 here. Walking in the Spirit focuses on Christ. Here in John chapter 16, you hear about the Holy Spirit. The Bible calls Him the Comforter. And you learn about His ministry. And what do we call it? What does God call it? Our walk. He calls it walking in the Spirit. Right? So you'd want to know what the Holy Spirit's attitude is, if we're supposed to be walking in the Spirit. And down through here, we find out that the Spirit's job is to convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. And that applies to salvation, and that also applies to the believer's walk. Righteousness, that righteousness never changes. Even in your walk, you're justified by Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Because we can't do it. We can't be perfect. There's no way. We got to trust Jesus Christ the whole way through. But specifically, let's look at verse 13 through 15 here. The Bible says in verse 13, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself." See that selfless attitude? "He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that He shall speak, and He shall show you things to come." Look at verse 14. "He shall glorify Me." And that's what a walk in the Spirit will do in the Christian's life. It'll glorify Jesus Christ. Because you're not going to say, and I know Paul did, he said, "Be ye followers of Me as I am of Christ." But you're not going to say, "Look at Me and look what I'm doing, you do this." You're going to say, "Look at Jesus Christ." You're going to say, "Follow Jesus Christ," and it's going to produce a lifting up of Jesus Christ and not a lifting up of self. "He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you." And that's the point I was wanting to make there. So the constant theme here is you're not under the law or any set of rules. You're under grace. It's a constant overriding theme of the book of Galatians. So let's go back to Galatians here. And I said all that before we get going into this to kind of establish this principle, because some of this stuff I'm going to say here, verse by verse, is not going to be the standard Baptist teaching. And it's not going to contradict the standard Baptist preaching. It's going to supplement it. Because with all passages of Scripture, okay, I'm a street preacher, and I street preach Hebrews 9:27 a lot. You know, and that's in the book of Hebrews, and there's some doctrinal stuff there. But you know what? For a lost person that's driving past in his car, or for a lost person that's walking past on the sidewalk, that's something he needs to hear. It is appointed unto men wants to die, and after this, the judgment. We got to get their mind in that type of atmosphere and in that type of personal work. You've got to get their mind on eternity and off the ball game and off of the store they were headed to. You've got to get their attention. And these verses, you know, while they can be used for that, we're in a Bible study here, and so we're just going to take it for what it says, and we're going to leave it in its context. And that does not take away from the spiritual application and the help you can give a lost man from those verses. So again, it doesn't, I'm not trying to debunk anything, just trying to give you the something that'll help you here. So in the book of Galatians, I already looked at verse 4. He says, "Who saved him, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world." And when I got saved, and I heard Dilbert say it, my concern was hell. I didn't want to go to hell. And I have a similar testimony. There was a point where you realize, wait a minute, it's not just not going to hell. I've got some benefits I can enjoy now. I've got a home in glory someday. There's more to it, and so I don't think there's any mistake here that he worded this way, because that's the subject of this book. We're still in Galatians, flip to chapter 2 here. Not going to make a great deal of comment on these verses. I just want to go through, kind of give you a little overview here, of a skyline view. Verse 14 of chapter 2, the Bible says, "But when I saw that when they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel." Not talking about salvation there. He said some things in chapter 2 that we're going to get into, and he's bringing the point home that you walk in Jesus Christ, just like you got saved in Jesus Christ. Verse 21 of chapter 2. "For I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness cometh by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." And it's still on the same point. He's talking about his walk there. Tell you something that I think Baptists and some people get hung up on. They get hung up on Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith." And then every time they see that word grace, they reference it to salvation. I had a guy at work give me this acronym for the word grace: God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's a good one. And that's true no matter where you find it. That's true in salvation. That's true in your walk. That's true in the Old Testament when God was being long-suffering, giving those people time until Christ came. You can't get away from the grace of God. You know me, I'm not saying you get saved in the Old Testament the same way, but the grace of God is throughout the Bible. And it applies to different subjects. Jack said it, Dilbert said it, I say it. Things that are different are not the same. And when you can separate this and you can look at your walk in distinction from your salvation and realize that it's Christ on both accounts, it'll help you. It's helped me. It's helped me realize that I can't make myself do right. I can't, you know, and again, I'm not taken away from memorizing the Scriptures. We're told to dwell in Christ. Christ is the Word, according to John chapter 1. You dwell in Him by dwelling in His Word. But I realize that I can't do it in my will. I can't do it in my self-will or gritting my teeth, counting to 10 like Jack Smith. I can't do it that way. I've got to dwell in Christ. I need Christ. Just like these automobiles in the parking lot need gasoline, I need Christ to fuel me and to power me down that road of then keeping those rules that we set up for ourselves. Need Christ. And where was I? Look at chapter 3, verse 3. "Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh?" Again, with that same thought of, hey, you know, these people come in and they're trying to make them keep the law. Wait a minute, you started out by grace through faith. How are you going to live? You're going to live by grace through faith. Chapter 4, verse 9. "But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn you again to the weak and beggarly elements?" Talking about this church that I've already made the point, this church that Paul started, he was there in Galatia, and he led some people to the Lord, started a Bible study, got enough people together to get a church together. And this is not what he taught them. He taught them, you're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. No circumcision, no laws, no set of rules, Christ. Christ is our all in all. And he's saying that, you remember, that's how you got saved. Are you going to turn back to the weak and beggarly elements and try to keep the law? And so that's the point there. Chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And just by going through here, verse 7, 5-7, the Bible says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This overriding thought and this overriding theme, you started out right. What happened? It can't be saved and then lost like all the heretics teach it when they teach that verse. It's not, falling from grace is not losing salvation. You used to keep this book in its context, and you go down through here, and you realize that when a person falls from grace, he started depending on himself in his walk. Doesn't mean he's going to hell, nothing to that effect at all. It means he's fallen from grace, and grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Even in our walk, we're dependent on grace. Let's see here. One more place. Look at chapter 6 and verse 16. Galatians 6:16, the Bible says, and as many as walk, not got saved, as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. And he's just bringing home the point. He's fighting this principle of what they call Judaizers. But what it is people, that these Jews that got saved, but they still won't let go of that Jewish law, the Old Testament Mosaic law. They're trying to put it on this New Testament church and saying, you have to do this, you have to do that. And he's saying that doesn't produce, that's not it. He's saying you walk in Jesus Christ. So that's the overriding theme of the book of Galatians. So with that said, let's get started in the text. I'll give you another quote here. Martin Luther said this, our works do not generate righteousness. Rather, our righteousness in Christ generates works. And that's it. These Old Testament, these old reformers, man, they had some preachers. Good stuff, man. I didn't turn the page before I said my last statement. Go hold your place in Galatians because we're going to be back there. But just real quick, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Back to your left a little. And this is walking in the Spirit. And I hope the Lord and Holy Spirit give somebody else this picture this morning, this revelation, because he sure did me during this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is walking in the Spirit. This is it in one verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And the thought there, the love of Christ constraineth us. The walking in the Spirit is dwelling in Jesus Christ. And when the focus is Christ, when you're reading the Bible and you're seeing Christ and you're realizing all the stuff that Jesus Christ done for you, you fall in love with Jesus Christ is what happens. And then that love of Christ, it constrains you. It constrains you to walk the way you want to walk. Not because of what somebody's going to think of you if they see you. They're not because of you're going to disappoint somebody, but because you love Jesus Christ. And that's the motive God's trying to produce. You see, religion produces self-righteousness. But a walk with Jesus Christ produces humility and a realization that you can't do it. And even in your walk, you need Jesus Christ. And you fall in love with Jesus Christ. And then that constraining love of Christ produces in your life that walk. Because if you love Christ, you're going to spend time in His Word. Because like I've already said, He's the Word. The Bible says in John chapter 1 that the Word, in the beginning the Word was with God. And in verse 14, he became flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If you love Jesus Christ, you're going to spend time in His Word. And the church is called the body of Jesus Christ. And if you love Jesus Christ, you're going to spend time around His body, around His people. And if you love Jesus Christ, you're going to pray because he's our great mediator. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And that's what we do. We, as preachers, we preach up here and we're trying to lift up Christ, and we're trying to cause you to get a prayer life. We're trying to cause you to read your Bible. We're trying to cause you to come to church. And that's all. If you love Jesus Christ and you're being held by that constraining love of Jesus Christ, you're going to want to be around his people. You're going to want to come to church. You're going to want to read your Bible. You're going to want to pray. And so that's what the walk in the Spirit will produce. And maybe nobody else here has this problem, but I did. I was trying to do it. You know, there was a time in my Christian walk, and not too long ago, I didn't see this. And I was trying to do good for the sake of doing good. And I was trying to memorize verses so that I wouldn't do that same thing that I always do. I wouldn't react that way that I react. And I'd memorize scripture, and I'd try to tell them, now I got to think of that scripture the next time I feel this way. But that's not the walk in the Spirit. That's not the focus. The focus should be on Jesus Christ and the love of him. See, and if I'm spending time in his Bible and in his word here and falling in love with him, then that's what I'm going to be thinking about, is loving him. And it'll produce those things. So that being said, go back to Galatians. We'll start out in Galatians here and try to go verse by verse. And again, that's not what I'm going to be talking about the whole time. Paul, in the book of Galatians here, mentions some things that's worth mentioning. It combats the spirit of this age. And we're going to for sure make some comment on that and do some preaching on that. And also through this book, I want to apply this to us, because we don't have Judaizers here in the county. There's not a church down the street that's a synagogue, nothing like that. You don't battle that. But there's some stuff that's awful close. You battle, you'll deal with Church of God people on the street. You'll deal with Church of Christ people on the street. Seventh-day Adventists, the Mormons. You're going to run into all these religions around here if you're knocking on doors and if you're witnessing. And the same rule applies here. You look at their set of rules or whatever it is they're teaching. A lot of them believe you can fall from grace. A lot of them don't even believe in hell. And they have a religious set of rules that they've decided to follow, and that makes them self-righteous, and they think that justifies them, and it's as far from New Testament Christianity as you can get. So hopefully the Lord will allow me to do that as we go down through here. But as I said, the Holy Spirit's got an axe to grind in the book of Galatians here. And I think you can see it in the way he starts out here. You know, some of his epistles, he starts out, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, your beloved brother Paul. Here it starts out in verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And the other apostles made an apostle one time in the first part of the book of Acts, so this is not just a moot point. He's actually saying something. He's saying, a group of men didn't pick me out. You know, Judas fell by way of transgression. Peter realized in the Old Testament that there's supposed to be 12 of them, so they pick a couple guys and they cast lots. God picks Matthias, and he's an apostle made by man. And Paul's making the point that that's not his case. And that's in Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 26, the account I just gave you about Matthias becoming the 12th apostle. And if you want to see how Paul became an apostle, you would turn to Acts chapter 9, Paul's conversion here. And Jesus Christ appeared to the Apostle Paul. He appeared to the Apostle Paul. Paul was a Jew. See, if anybody was qualified to make this point, it was the Apostle Paul. Paul was a Jew. He was a Jew of Jews. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. And he was a Pharisee, and he was in the law. He was perfect. And so if anybody could make this point, he could. And he was on the road persecuting the church. He was in Jerusalem. He was putting people in prison. He was torturing them. And when he gets saved, he's on the road to Damascus with the same intent. He had received a letter from the chief priest that he was to go to there and to take anybody he found being a Christian, take them back and torture them. And that's the setting where Paul's headed when he meets Jesus Christ. And quite literally, he meets Jesus Christ. Paul's on his horse going down the highway, and Jesus Christ appears to him in his glory, in the shining light. It knocks Paul off his horse, and it blinds Paul for 3 days. And so Paul met Jesus Christ. So that's what he's saying here. He became an apostle by the will of Jesus Christ and God the Father. And what he's trying to do as we get down through there, he's trying to prove the point that this is my gospel. Jesus Christ gave it to me. And so don't forget what it was. Don't get caught up under the law. Don't get religious. Remember, it's what I taught you. So verse 2 says, and all the brethren which are with me unto the church of Galatia. There's a couple things you can draw from that church or from that verse. He says churches of Galatia. Religion will make you exclusive. You'll feel like you got a clique. You'll feel like you got a group, and you think little or less of other churches, you know, whether they're the Baptist church or whatever. And I think that's something spiritually you can take there. Paul wrote that to the churches of Galatia. It just wasn't his favorite. But now the commenters make a big deal on this here in verse 3. They talk about, or in verse 2 rather. In a lot of Paul's epistles, he says to the saints or to the church of Galatia, make it or the church of someplace, making you think that it's just the saved people he's writing to. And like I said, some of the commentators over the years have had trouble with Galatians there, chapter 5 and verse 4, where he talks about falling from grace. And so in an attempt to answer that argument that falling from grace might be losing your salvation, which it's not, they hang a big deal on this, and they say, well, he's not writing to the saints. And so they make the statement, and then they go down through the rest of the book of Galatians trying to figure out who's Paul talking to. Is he talking to a Christian, or is he talking to a lost man? And they go down through there with that attempt. But if you just sit back and think for a minute, I just went back and I looked at the start of the book of Romans. I looked at the start of the book of Ephesians, which is where we get our doctrine on salvation. We get it from Romans and Ephesians when it comes to salvation, and those are both addressed to the saints. So if it's a big deal that the saints aren't mentioned here, the books where we got our doctrine on salvation, he does mention the saints. So I think that's just a bunch of a guy trying to show off his education or something. You know, not with some of the brethren. I just mean the big expositors and selling all these commentaries and whatnot. They had to come up with some sort of an excuse for Galatians 5, so they try and hear. But I don't think that's it because of what I've already said, because of Romans and Ephesians. He mentions saints to them, and the great deal of the book of Romans dealing with a lost man. And he started out saying to the saints. And he also says to all that be at Rome. I'll say that in the effort of full disclosure. But he did say the saints, and that's what they have a fit on, is he doesn't say saints here. And we are going to see some scripture that talks about when Paul got saved here, so there is a little bit of that. But anyway, all right, so there's no saints in the verse. That's something they want you to see. But I don't think it's as big a deal as they make out of it. Verse 3, kind of self-explanatory. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's just his greeting there. And so moving on to verse 4, which we've already commented on a little bit here. And I believe this is a key verse to the book of Galatians. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God our Father. So, having made the statement about the whole meaning of the book of Galatians, I want to switch gears here. Paul calls this present world evil, and that goes against the theme and the effort of modern Christianity. This world is evil. It's not this big beautiful world, and it's not God's gonna bless you in this world. Men are wicked. Women are wicked. This world system right now with social media and all those things and selfies being the rage. Remember, God resisteth the proud, and a generation of Americans coming up thinking that the whole world wants a selfie every 5 minutes. That's contrary to the word of God, and it's contrary to the principles he's trying to get across. You look around you. Look around you in this county. Drugs. Drugs are rampant. And, you know, they've always been a problem. Alcohol has always been a problem, but it's a crazy level today. It's so crazy that they're talking about, and they are legalizing drugs. Marijuana is becoming more and more legal across the country. States legalizing it to the contradiction of the federal law that classifies it as a drug. And that wicked is becoming good, and evil is becoming, you know what I mean there. And that's what's going on. This world is not good. You're not to be at home in this world, if you will. According to Luke chapter 11, go ahead and go to Luke. We're going to look a few more places. That's probably the last verse we'll hit in Galatians this morning. Luke chapter 11. I wonder why Olsteen's never preached a message on Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. You read down through here, and I'm just going to give you the context for time's sake. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to men that have gave up everything and are following him, sleeping out in the woods with him, not having no place to rest their head. And look at what he says to him in verse 13, Luke 11, 13. The Bible says, "If ye then being evil," that's it. "If ye then being evil," remember who he's talking to. You don't believe me, look up through there. And I encourage you to look up through there. "If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" And the point just wanted to make there is that man, at his best state, is altogether vanity. The religious folks, the priest that has given up the blessedness that he could have had in a marriage relationship, and the beautiful thing that a man and a woman share there, and that love that lasts a lifetime, and the beautiful picture of the body of Christ and Jesus Christ. He's give up all that, and he thinks he did it to justify himself. And there's no reason for that. There's no need for that. And even at that state, he's vanity. No matter how good he is, no matter how well he's living, he's evil, just like we all are. How about that one, huh? Mark chapter 7. Pride's out, folks. It's out. Mark chapter 7. I'm just combating the spirit of the times here. Mark chapter 7. Looking at verse 20 through 23. Mark chapter 7, verse 20. Christ again dealing with his disciples, he says, and he said, "That man cometh that." There, no need to be nervous now. Nothing worse could happen. "And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murderers." And that just backs up our thought. It drives our point home this morning. That people get so hung up on religion, and they get so hung up on their standards, they think that when they mess up, that defiles them. And that's not what Jesus Christ said. Jesus said, "What comes out of you, that defiles you." He says, "For out of the heart man speaketh, and out of the heart are the issues of life." And so men are rotten to the heart. Again, our verse is this present evil world. This world messed up because of man. Messed up because of man from the start. Adam got this whole thing rolling. The ground's cursed now. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened." He's talking to a saved man. But he's going to talk to the saved man about his old nature, the way he was before he got saved. "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air," the devil, "the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." It's just natural. You're born that way. And therein is the problem for a lost man. He's born a sinner. Born that way. Born with that trouble. And men are that way. You just have to look around. If you're just sane and you look around, you'll see that. I won't have you turn back there. Go ahead, and we're going to come back to Ephesians. But in Galatians 1, our text, we saw that the world is evil. Just talking about some things that are evil here, because God called our present world evil, so let's get some scripture on it. The god of this world is evil. We get that from the text we were just in. The devil is the god of this world. He's under some delegated authority, and he's got this whole thing set up. You look at Hollywood, you look at the music industry. He's got this set up to where our kids' heroes are fornicators, they're dope heads, they're prideful, they're immoral. And those are the people that this world system sets up. And it's just all out of whack. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But the start of that verse says, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds. Satan's been at this thing, brethren and sistern, for a lot of years now. He's been dealing with man long before we ever come around, and he's good at what he does. He knows how to mess us up. He knows how to put those temptations in our sight and get thoughts to go into our mind. And he uses the world for it, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. And that's the world for you. And these are the words, what I've given you, goes contrary to everything that modern Christianity is teaching on the TV and on the broadcasts, of course, with the exception of a couple broadcasts. We got some Bible believers on the air, praise the Lord. But if you're watching Holstein or that bunch up there, Copeland, all that stuff, Duplantis and Dollar, all them, they're about the here and now, and they think this world's great. They're supposing godliness is gain. They think they're right because they've got rich by making merchandise out of Christians. And these, the words we just looked at here, these are the words in most of the cases of Jesus Christ. You know, Mark wrote it down, Luke wrote it down, but these are the words of Christ talking about men being evil. And a lot of times it's the Apostle Paul writing these things down, probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. And it's their words, not mine. So if you're on the radio today and that offended you, you get mad at God. Let me give you one more quote, and I'll probably mention these quotes again and again. I hope to, because... And this one is by John Knox. And John Knox was a Calvinist. I've read his book. But he sure had this figured out. And this is a quote by John Knox, and it's from his book, A Scots Confession. For as God the Father beholds us in the body of his Son, Christ Jesus, he accepts our imperfect obedience as if it were perfect, and covers our works, which are defiled with many stains, with the righteousness of his Son. So on that, let's take a break.